Islam rejects both secularism and political theology. In the 20th century, a German thinker called Carl Schmitt popularized the term political theology. The phrase was used in reference to the relationship between theology and politics. It was Carl Schmitt's belief that the nation state was actually founded using religious concepts from the Christian tradition. These concepts, Schmitt posited, were transmitted from the Christian tradition and reworked into what we now call secular politics. In his own words, all significant concepts of the modern theory of the state are secularized theological concepts, not only because of their historical development, in which they were transferred from Christian theology to the theology of the state, whereby, for example, the omnipotent God became the omnipotent lawgiver, but also because their systematic structure, the recognition of which is necessary for a sociological consideration of these concepts. For Carl Schmitt, the theological concept of an omnipotent God, whose authority is unquestionable, was transported onto the structure of the nation-state. Now, it was the state whose authority could not be questioned. Another idea that was used relates to how God's existence is not accidental or contingent, but rather is necessary. So now, the existence of the state has become necessary. Now, whether you agree or not with Carl Schmitt's analysis of the nation-state, it raises an important question. Why is it that in Western intellectual tradition, theology and politics are considered something separate? Implicit in Carl Schmitt's discussion is the assumption that theology and politics stand apart and that theological concepts first had to be secularized in order for them to be transported on the nation-state. In his book 2, Roberto Esposito, an Italian philosopher, discusses the inherent conflict present in the phrase political theology. The tying together of the political and the theological, Esposito explains, traces back centuries to when Christianity and Roman law came into contact. The two both had an influence on each other, giving us what we call today the Roman Catholic tradition. However, this merging of the purely theological, or basically Christianity, and the legal political, or Roman law and statecraft, was not perfect. As Esposito explains, the theological and the political both tried to incorporate the other, and it is the conflict between the two of them which has defined much of Western history. The division between theology and politics in the Western tradition is embodied in the Gospels' words, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." The conflict between theology and politics has unfortunately become a problem for the Muslim world. With the era of colonialism came the abolition of the Khilafah state and the division of the Muslim world into nation states. With the rise of the nation state came to the forceful imposition of secularism, which led to the exclusion of the Sharia in the political realm. However, such a separation between politics and theology is not translatable to an Islamic context. Even the use of the word theology becomes problematic when we try to find its equivalent in the Muslim tradition. Western academics sometimes equate theology to the science of kalam. However, that is a faulty equivalence. Within Muslim history, kalam, as an intellectual discipline, was always deeply intertwined with the many other sciences of the Muslims, such as Usul al-Fiqh, Tafsir, and Shuruh al-Hadith. These latter sciences are used to derive the Sharia law from the Islamic sources, the primary ones, of course, being the Quran and Sunnah. These laws instruct Muslims on all affairs, whether private, public, or political. It is within the Book of Allah and the conduct and speech of the Prophet that we find guidance on all manners, whether they are ibadat, hudud, or mu'amalat. So where can the line between theology and politics be drawn in Islamic tradition? Simply, it cannot. Politics in Islam is siyasa, taking care of the affairs of the people according to the laws given to us by Islam. The famous scholar and historian Ibn Khaldun makes this point very clear when he wrote his Muqaddima. Governance and authority are the guardianship of the creation and the vicegerency of Allah over his servants to implement his Sharia rulings among them. The Sharia rulings of Allah regarding his creation and servants are all for the good and the consideration of their interests, as guaranteed by the divine laws. Therefore, Sharia laws have a purpose to cause human beings to follow such a course in all their dealings with Allah and their fellow men. The contradiction between Western Christian beliefs and Islam becomes even more clear when we compare the Christian saying, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's," to Islamic texts. The Noble Quran clarifies the matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is all-forgiving, all-merciful. Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:3. This establishes the comprehensive nature of Islam. There is no aspect of our lives that is not covered by Islamic law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ واحذرهم أن يفتنوك عن بعض ما أنزل الله إليك.
So judge between them by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their desires over the truth that has come to you. This ayah makes it clear that Muslims are obliged to only follow Islamic rulings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
Then do you believe in a part of the scripture and reject the rest? Then what is the recompense of those who do so among you, except disgrace in the life of this world and on the day of resurrection? They shall be consigned to the most grievous torment, and Allah is not unaware of what you do. Surah Al-Baqarah 85. This warns the believers of what will happen if they pick and choose, ignoring aspects of Islam. As Muslims, we must shed this opinion that politics and theology stand in tension and opposed to one another. Both are intertwined through the most important ideology, which is our deen. As Muslims, we must understand that whatever endeavors are made in the theological sciences or in politics are made with the intentions of fulfilling our purpose, which is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Written for the Central Media Office of Hizb al-Tahrir by Khalil Mus'ab, Wilaya, Pakistan.